From Studio Live in the beautiful Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef and your host, Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. We'd like to thank you again for joining us as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
This is episode 131, What to Do This Summer.
Yeah.
This is a nice one where the two of us get to sit down and chat again and sort of catch up a little bit because it's been a bit of a whirlwind. You've been pretty full out with...
I've been pretty busy.
Little toy business and...
I do, yeah. I've actually, it's. I don't even think I've really gone into that on here at all. Really quickly, a few years ago, I bought a small toy company, and that's not a toy store. Like, I actually produce toys. I've been nurturing it and taking care of it, and it's starting to finally get big enough that it's becoming a big distraction of all my regular life. But yeah, it's really kept me busy these last few months.
You haven't told everyone the name of it.
It's all right, and I probably won't until there's a website that I'm proud of. Right now, it's just a collection of bits and pieces. So,
all right, so
yeah,
Darren is at home assembling toys right now for
for summer conventions.
Yes.
So
let's take some time to talk about food. So you don't have to worry about that.
And sure.
We can talk a little bit about, I would just like to say that I've gotten my first sunburn. Bit of an embarrassment on that, but I'm feeling a little warm on the arms right now.
Was that yesterday?
A little too much time out in the sun with a little incident, which I'm not going to talk about.
That's fine.
A lot of mud and stuck on a beach. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Even though I've been really caught up in the toy business and my regular day job, we've managed to get a couple of things in there. Like, as a follow-up to when we had Chenchal Cabrera in from Innisfree Farms, she invited me out to the farm, and I took her up on it and went out there for an afternoon and had an amazing lunch prepared by Theory, her partner. She took me for a walk through the gardens and took me through the art garden and the vegetable and fruit garden, the food garden, and then through the medicine gardens. And it was fantastic. I had an amazing time. I loved it. And it's open to a lot of people, or a lot of the time, I guess all the people.
But everyone is welcome.
Yeah, everybody's welcome. I just don't think that they're always welcome. I think that you have to check in with her first before coming out, and she'll tell you when you can come and take a tour of the gardens. It's amazing.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I also thought we should touch on the fact that we did, as Edible Valley, we went into the wine tasting up at Beaufort.
Yes, they were just opening for a tasting for restaurants and industry people, so we managed to sneak in there. And
I know, and I think we tried like 15 wines that day.
Yeah, it was a pretty tough day.
Yeah, it was rough. But again, another great local food producer that you can go and check out. They are open to the public for wine tastings, and you just call or check them out on their Facebook site or website, and I'm sure you can find out the information there when you can go up for a tasting.
It's definitely a beautiful spot. They have their new tasting room up there. Well, I guess it's a couple of years old now, but it's a very nice area, and
absolutely,
you can listen to some of our old episodes, like we had Jeff and Susan talking about Beaufort when they were sort of getting out of it, and they were the ones that established this vineyard and...
Yeah, absolutely. And you should definitely, to any listeners out there, go on up, have some wine in an absolutely beautiful, picturesque Comox Valley setting and just take in some of what the valley is.
And then take a couple bottles home with you for dinner.
So. Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah. And you know what? There's so many great vineyards and distilleries and in this area that you can go check out. So,
absolutely.
And there's still a few that we need to have on the show here to talk to. So... It's a big market, and there's a lot of people, and I keep meeting new and new places popping up all over the place, all over Vancouver Island. So
for me, I think that that's really, to bring it back on topic, we're talking about what things we can do this summer. I think that that's a key right there. You can hit any of these wineries. Like that's such a summer thing right there.
All right. Well, let's just start off the show by getting right into this. We'll start this at the top of our list, but definitely going out there and hitting some of the local vineyards.
Yeah.
And taking a picnic, which is one of the other things I wanted to talk to you, but we'll get back to that. But just going out and sampling some of these great places and just enjoying and taking friends and family. Like, it's a great afternoon, some very scenic areas. So
that's the key to me. That's why you want to do it in the summer. It's beautiful, just absolutely beautiful everywhere you look. So take it in.
And definitely making it into a tour and sampling around and finding a driver. And it becomes quite nice, right?
Absolutely.
So what other things do you like to get up to during the summer here, Darren?
Do I like to?
Yeah.
I'm weird. I like to forage, you know that.
Right.
I do like to go out and just go into the bush or into, I don't know, territory that not usually trod on and collect up as much food out there as I can and turn it into things, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking this time of year is best for fishing too, especially in this area, is getting out with the old fly rod.
Yeah.
I've
never been a big fisher, but I said last year that my dad and my brother are both pretty intense hobby fishermen and they do a lot of it. And I've passed up a million opportunities to go out with you, but it's time I learn. I eat so much fish that it's time that I start being responsible to gather my own, you know?
Right.
So, I'm looking forward to at least a couple of little excursions with the family this year.
It's nice just to go out in the boat in a nice sunny day and just throw a line off the back and just do some trolling. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And it's always nice if you catch a nice salmon or, you know, bring in a cod, something along those lines. Some great stuff there. Brings up a lot of my youth. I spent a lot of time as a kid. Because I grew up on Hornby Island.
Oh, right.
I spent my summers on Hornby Island. So that was kind of that. Actually, that I can pretty much do this whole list just from Hornby Island, I think. But that would be one of the things that we'd take get the old buzz bombs out.
Yeah.
Which is a local invention.
Yeah, absolutely. That used to be the claim to the fame for the Valley. It's what put us on the map.
Yeah, the old
buzz
bomb. This
is where the buzz bomb was created.
Anyways, and so you go out there and you just take your casting rod and just off the rocks and just cast into the kelp and snag a couple kelp, and then eventually you'd bring in, you know, you catch yourself a nice coho.
Right.
And I have very fond memories of sitting out in a canoe.
Oh, wow.
With a buzz bomb, catching a coho and spending 10, 15 minutes getting dragged all over the bay by this little 2-pound coho that was fighting for its life.
Oh, wow.
And then taking it home and throwing it on the smoker and having some nice, you know, smoked salmon. But yeah, it definitely is taking your smoked salmon and then just heading down to the beach and doing the
beach barbecue
beach.
Yeah.
Definitely the thing to do.
Yeah.
Got any personal favorites down at the beach there?
For me, like memories or food that I like to do? I'm weird that way. I have another one that I like to do, and this one I came about by accident, and now it's like a staple for my family when we go down to the beach and barbecue.
Okay.
So I had maybe people will know this, maybe they don't. I used to have a sushi truck, a sushi food truck, and I used to do a lot of events. And in there I made a few, I had a couple of different salads and a couple of different dressings as well as sushi. And once I had this traditional Japanese onion dressing that nobody went for, and I had a lot of it left over, which happens, you know. Yeah. My brother and his partner, it was back when they were just sort of getting together, and they came over for dinner, and I didn't know what to do. So the first thing in the morning, I had this pork shoulder, and I cubed it, and I just took that dressing, and I turned it, used the dressing as a marinade.
Oh, yeah.
And then I skewered it and barbecued it. And to me, it was an afterthought. It was like, oh, we don't have really any proteins here. They're coming over. I'm just doing some salads and some sushi, and I should do something as a protein. It was an afterthought.
Right.
And everybody went ballistic for it. And then so I then recreated it a couple of weeks later, just making sure that it wasn't just that lightning striking.
That one off, yeah.
And my kids went nuts for it. And then I took it actually to an Atlas impromptu, you know, one of those last minute get togethers, like five of us will get together and go down to the beach. The third time was the charm. Like after that, when everybody went nuts for it there, I'm like, oh, I've actually stumbled onto something pretty good here. Ah. So since then, that's become our barbecue staple. Whenever we go down to barbecue on the beach, we take some skewers of this marinated pork shoulder.
Would it be a recipe we'd post and
sure,
share?
That seems like
some
a great
of our
one.
Listeners out there?
Yeah. And bear in mind that you can use it as a marinade for pork shoulder, but it's also a fantastic dressing on a green salad.
So definitely, if you want that, we'd love to hear some emails from you to give us a little heads up and say, where's that recipe? Because I need to do a little beach barbecue. And
yeah. Oh, it's so good. So good. And what about you? I mean, you're for the beach, you have a particular thing you have to do at the beach?
No, I try to do as little as possible at the beach. Yeah, no, I always love, I don't know, maybe just camping and doing the old camp stove.
Oh,
I love
a
good old breakfast on the camp stove, just frying up some bacon.
I got to say, I'm awful at camp breakfast. I really am. I'm not good with inconsistent heat. I end up ruining everything.
Oh, well, that's part of the whole meal right there, I think, is just ruining everything.
Yeah, right.
Having something a little too crispy and a little too overdone, but still delicious.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all because you got to survive. You're in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All this food has to be eaten because it's in a cooler and it's going to go bad. So
we don't have proper refrigeration.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I like going out and just cooking. Cooking anything. I have no real staples.
Right.
For being out on a barbecue. You know, I am a huge fan of rotisserie chicken.
I know. I couldn't believe that. We were talking barbecues the other day and you were like totally over one of your barbecues because it did not have the ability to do a rotisserie chicken.
My rotisserie didn't fit on it. It was too long. So I'm like, I'll take the smaller barbecue. I don't need this long one.
It blew me away. I was like, how can you be so determined as to what's the valuable barbecue and not based on its ability to rotisserie a chicken?
Rotisserie anything. I just love that, having that slow heat that just
I agree
slowly
with you.
Comes
fantastic.
On and comes off, and it just keeps all that moisture locked inside, all that juice and stuff like that. And as long as you're basting it every so often, I get really excited about that. So.
I love Brazilian. I mean, we're totally deviating here, but I love Brazilian barbecue for that reason, because it's completely based about rotisserie everything. Like, that's all it is. It's just, the whole thing's just rotisserie.
Mm-hmm.
And the one dripping onto the other and dripping onto the other, and it's just amazing.
Well, and those are the exciting things you got to do in the summer, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing like better than having a spit and doing a whole, a whole animal or something, like doing a lamb or doing a pig or whatever.
Speaking of which, I think we were talking to Hartley. We got to get him in here. He's an expert on that.
We're going to get a little bit more information for people out there about that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some other things that are, like, even in the community, there's always stuff
for
going
sure.
on. Definitely, you know, the patio season has begun, so all the restaurants got their patios out and going. And
well, I mean, here we are
around.
Yeah, here we are just driving through Cumberland to get to the studio, and I noticed that 3 or 4 places have expanded to have patios, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Definitely embracing the patio culture, which didn't really seem to be anything or non-existent a few years
ago. Well, it's that whole sidewalk patio now that people are bringing out the sidewalk so they can have, taking up a parking spot so that they can have a little patio so people can sit in front of their restaurant.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
And I mean, at Atlas, we just expanded our patio there.
Of course.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger, a little more spread out, so you're not crammed in the back there. So that's
beautiful.
A new one.
There's definitely all the patios are opening up. It's great.
Yeah, I got to shout out, like, the White Whales. I saw theirs. They got a sail hanging up over their patio.
Oh, do they? I haven't been there.
Yeah, so it gives you a little bit of shade, so it's not too intense. And
I got to check them out. I haven't been there for a while.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of patios out there. There's so many great patios out there, too. So Blackfin's a great one just for getting out in the sun and
absolutely
watching the marina. So
yeah, well, I mean, even like Atlas's, where we don't have a view, you know, but it's a nice little space to just sort of enjoy some a little food, a little drink, some
just
sun,
sit outside and enjoy the food. So, and that's sort of that same feeling of sitting on your own back patio and having a barbecue and not having to.
Yeah.
But except for you don't have to cook yourself.
Definitely. That's definitely one of the summer activities you can't leave out. You can't not do that. I mean, it's summer. You have to go do some patio dining.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Putting that on the list of things to do. I'm blanking out. I know, like, right now, definitely the community, we've got, there's a whole bunch of things happening. And we talked about vineyards and special dinners and stuff like that.
Right.
The big one coming up is the Shellfish Festival or Seafood Festival.
What is it called now? Is it rebranded? I didn't know that.
Anyways.
Okay. But yeah, it's coming up. That's always a big deal.
Yes. And unfortunately, I'm not involved in any way this year.
My goodness.
Which is kind of a strange
thing.
Weren't
you key to it a few years ago or in the beginning?
Well, I was always one of the participating from since day one.
Right.
So, or pretty much since day one, I've always been participating and talking and working with people. But this year I've kind of stepped back just because Atlas Cafe is actually closing down. We're doing a big bar reno, so I wanted to...
Temporarily.
Yeah. Sorry, 4 days.
We're closing down for four days. That's it.
4 days. So I kind of just opted to get out of town and just go on
Do that. I mean, how often do you get the opportunity to go out of town? Never do.
No, I don't. So I thought, you know, this is a chance to go out and explore a little bit more of the island. And I've got a couple places I'm looking at going. And if anyone has any great suggestions on where I should go, I'd love to hear from you on Vancouver Island. So definitely send us an email or send us something on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. And hey, if I can throw some or cast out there for some information. I've got some trips coming up too. I really have no idea what to do. I'm going to be in Penticton for a couple of days. And I'm going to be at Shuswap for two totally different trips, totally different times. But if anybody has any great things for me to that I should check out or that Edible Valley should do some research on or promote or look into, please let us know. I'd love to check them out for you and do the Edible Valley coverage of it.
For sure. And don't forget to email us at theediblevalley@gmail.com.
Yeah.
There's a little plug there. okay, I had a list, I forgot it at home.
No.
And I'm just spitballing off the top of my head, but there's so many other great events happening.
Are there? I'm not aware. I mean, I know...
Well, come on, we got the Garlic Festival coming up.
Oh, right. Arzina would hate us if we
forgot
about
that.
It.
And it was funny because I was talking to her the other day because she showed up with some fresh produce and we were comparing tarragons, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's like...
Oh, my favorite herb.
She's like, I've got these two tarragons. And she's like, which one do you guys like better? And we're like, oh, this one's got a bit more of a anise flavor to it.
Oh, wow.
But this one's got a little bit more pungent. I'm like, so we went back and forth. She's like, oh, well, I've got these two growing and I don't know which one I want to keep and which one you guys want, right? So we're like, oh. So it was kind of an interesting little discussion.
Oh, man.
Anyways, while talking to her, I was like... Oh, like, is the Garlic Festival coming up soon? She's like, no, that's not till August. And I'm like, because we did the podcast so much farther ahead of it.
Right.
To promote it, that I was kind of like, oh, this should be the time that we're talking about it. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We got the Garlic Festival. Down way back at the end of the summer, we've got Flavor coming up.
Well, that'll be next year.
Oh, right.
They take a year off. So every second year, there's a...
My apologies.
Get everyone excited. There was someone just rolled over and went, oh no.
Somebody's right now looking for tickets.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with you. I'm blanking here. I can't remember the rest of the events that are going on this
summer. Well, I know there's always the old, I mean, we should, this is what I wanted to talk about. The farmer's market.
Right.
We haven't even touched bases on that. For summer things to do, nothing better than a Saturday morning to head down to the market.
Absolutely. Or in Cumberland, Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, that's right. Correct. Yeah. And then they have the Wednesdays.
In Merville, right?
In Courtney.
Oh, in Courtney, right.
Yeah, they do the downtown one, which I don't think it started up yet. But
I just saw one today that they were advertising Monday afternoon, like Monday evenings is going to be Merville or something, or Royston. I don't know. I just caught it in a glimpse. We'll look into it more and get back to you guys.
I think this is now we have to go talk to the farmer's market again and find out what their routine is again. But I know Saturday's down there.
Yeah, Saturday's the forever one, the one that's been going on forever.
And that's just a good morning. I always found I don't get to them as much as I used to anymore just because I'm usually in work by the time they open. So it's not really, doesn't work for me.
Right.
But it used to be one of my things. I had a little bit later shift, so I'd always get down there, grab a coffee, and peruse a couple things, pick up a few things, talk to a few people, and plan the rest of my week sort of around what they might have. And
you know, it's funny, because the market, some people treat it as a opportunity to do like half their grocery shopping or more. And then there's other people that are just there to pick up like a coffee or a pastry or something, you know, pick up jam. You know, that they're going to have on the toast tomorrow or something. And they just sort of look for a little something boutique-y, you know, and it's great. Like I love both. I'm impressed with both. Just that commitment of get down to the market and pick up your thing or your full bag of things. You know, it's great.
And there's always some music going on and some activity. So
I know. And it's definitely, it's one of the better sense of communities I've ever felt. Like I love the Comox Valley and it's one of those few times where every time you're there, you feel like this is the Comox Valley.
Yeah.
This is it right here.
And the Chefs Association once a month has been kept up on this, which is really great. And they do a little food demo every time. And so they bring in a chef or they bring in a collection of chefs and then they do a little spiel of what's going on. So that's always a fun and interesting one. So,
right. Yeah.
It's a great way to sort of take a product and you can see what you can do with it. Because I know a lot of people look at stuff and they're like, I don't know what to do with that.
But
once they've seen someone do something and they're like, that looks good, or they've tried it and they're like, oh, I could do this. It's not that hard.
But yeah, exactly.
It sort of encourages them to go out there and do it. So.
Right. Yeah. Perfect.
Well, I think that's a great list. I think most of it is just getting out there and exploring.
You know what? I mean, we can sit here and beat ourselves up for not thinking of the last couple, but I think better is to just ask the listeners, what are we forgetting? What have we left out? What are the important things you want to do this summer? The key things like food, summer. Maybe you can let us know.
Yeah, that would be excellent. Actually, that's a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. We should just do a little, I'm going to do our little sign out here of just definitely, we'd love to hear comments from you. I'd love to hear you subscribe to us. So don't forget to check out. We're on Podbean is our source. And you can check us out at theedibleValley.com. Definitely email us. We have theedibleValley@gmail.com. We're always doing little tweets and stuff talking about what's going on. So check us out at Edible Valley. Check us out on Facebook. We have the Edible Valley podcast there. And a lot of our tweets get up there and our little show information and stuff like that.
Right.
And so we're over the 50,000 downloads.
I know. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
We've done it. We did 50,000 downloads. As you said at the top of this episode, 131. This is sticking around.
I know. And I keep thinking of more and more people to talk to and things to talk about. So, but definitely if you're interested in coming in and doing a podcast with us, if you've got a new product or you're starting a new business or you have a new farm and you're just trying to get your foot in the door, we'd love to hear from you and get sort of promote you and send your message out there.
Maybe those others that are established too. I mean, we want to hear from you. And speaking of some of the established businesses that are around, the ones that help us out on a day-to-day basis, there's Butcher's Block and the Atlas Cafe. And we have Studio Live here in Cumberland. We have Kirsten Wood Music and Ivan's Truffles, all repeated supporters of the podcast and bringing it to you.
Yeah, they all chip in and give us a little help on covering the costs of the promotion and putting together these shows. So
yeah,
we definitely like to thank you. And
yeah, and if anybody else wants to throw a little love our way, a little promotion our way, or we can promote you, just get in touch with us at any of the places that John just mentioned, or we have a list on our WordPress and Facebook.
Yes, we hope you've learned a little bit about food and where you can find it. And we'd just like to thank you again for listening.